Now, I'm tired tonight. I think this will be the last speech that we have, and we can adjourn.
Patrick, when you began as a lecturer, you said that you love each and every one of us, but yet your words have such a big disconnect. Your words have hurt people in this room, have angered people, have insulted people, make people just very angry. And as a Christian, how do you feel? Do you feel that there's love now in the room for you, and do you have still have love for us after all of the nasty and insulting things that you have to say?
I'm going to address that question, but I'm going to address the question, and I'm going to take my 20-minute speech and try to deal with the questions that are already asked. And it's going to take me 20 minutes just to address those questions. Then we'll adjourn, and we'll talk one-on-one and ask any question, okay? Okay, Michael, start my time. As I mentioned, I don't want to offend anybody. The nice lady here has a good question. You remember, when you tell somebody something you feel they need to hear, even though they don't want to hear it, you are showing the greatest amount of love that you possibly can. If I didn't love you, I wouldn't say it. Because I would just go along with the flow and let you do whatever you want to do. But since I believe you need to hear it, like a person who's addicted on drugs, for example, he's not going to like it if you tell him he needs to stop. But you're telling him he needs to stop for his own good. You see what I'm saying? And that's what we call self-love. Okay. Now let me go to some of the questions that I was asked in that speech. First of all, Pat mentioned, and she said, I don't know how she put it, but there were some apparent contradictions in the Bible. Like, the Bible said in the Old Testament, thou shalt not kill, but then they were told to put to death murderers. And actually, there was no contradiction there. The Bible in the Old Testament made it clear that you should not kill. The newer translations say murder. It goes on to explain that if you accidentally kill somebody, like in our day and time, they didn't have cars back then, if you accidentally, and it wasn't your fault, you didn't know on purpose, you ran over a child, you killed them, but that's not what it's talking about. They weren't put to death for that. It was an accident. They were never talking about just killing by accident, or if somebody, it made it clear over and over, if somebody murders somebody, it was clear as a murder, and you can prove it's murder, not an accident, they were to be put to death. That was never in the Bible, that was instructed. It was, thou shalt not murder, is what it was. And most importantly, in the Bible, there's no contradiction on this homosexuality issue. There, Pat mentioned, she says there's six passages, I haven't counted them, six or eight passages that condemn homosexuality. There's nothing to contradict that. There's no passage that says it's okay. There's no evidence that David and Jonathan were homosexuals. There's no evidence that Ruth and Naomi were. Jesus never showed approval for it. Nothing in the Old Testament ever showed approval. There is no seeming or apparent contradiction. Now, we talk about the words malakia and arsenicoatis. Somebody mentioned, I think he raised a question to me about homosexuality is not in any of the translations until 1946. Well, I'm not sure of the year. I'll take his word for that. And that goes back to what I said in one of my earlier speeches. In 1611, when the King James was originally translated, the word homosexual had not been coined yet, same sex. That doesn't mean that it didn't exist. There were homosexuals in Rome. There were homosexuals back in the days of Leviticus. But they didn't. That word in English wasn't coined. Perhaps it wasn't coined until there about 1946. If it wasn't coined until 1940, you couldn't use it in the translation until after 1940. That doesn't mean the concept did not exist. I already mentioned that. That's why you would see it in any of the older translations. It's simply because the word was not coined yet. Before about 1969, you'd never see it in the dictionary, the word cool to mean something like clumsy. You know, that word didn't develop into that until maybe happy days, or perhaps in the 1950s, I'm not sure, but you go back to 1900, cool meant cold, but not real cold. But anyway, I think you get the idea. Then, in Leviticus 20, verse 9, the next lady here asked about that. She said, well, Pat, and this is in the same context of Leviticus 18 and Leviticus 20 that condemned homosexuality. Put up number 13, Alan. She said, well, you know, if you don't honor your parents and you curse father and mother, you're going to be put to death. She says, what about that today? A lot of kids would be put to death. I agree with you. There would be. That recognizes something that I think we're in agreement on, Pat, in the Church of Christ and the CC Church is in agreement on. I think so. I'm not 100% sure. And that is there's a difference in the Old Testament law and covenant that was just for the Jews And the New Testament law and covenant that was for Jew or Gentile or anybody, black or white, it wouldn't make any difference. Indian, red, whatever color you are, it doesn't matter what people you are, it's for everybody. In the Old Testament, they had some things they could do. For example, a male had to be circumcised. They had to sacrifice animals to God. In the New Testament, we don't have to do that. This is one of those things that's not in the New Testament law. So when I went to Leviticus, I was careful to say in the very beginning, I realized this is Old Testament law. But I want to show you that it was condemned under Old Testament. And there were a number of reasons for that. And the main reason was is that many of the arguments that the NCC Church will use is that homosexuality, it goes like this, homosexuality couldn't be wrong if somebody's born that way. Or there are others that are related to that, that the argument, if it were true, would mean it could never have been wrong. Even under Old Testament times when they're under a different law. That's why I went to the Old Testament and said, look, even under the Old Testament it was wrong. Not that we're under the Old Testament. Then I quickly went into the New Testament to show the covenant we're under and to show that it was still wrong. Under the Old Testament, they had to do animal sacrifices. Under the New Testament, they don't. Jesus takes care of all that, see? But under the Old Testament, homosexuality was wrong. And under the New Testament, Romans 1 and so forth, homosexuality is wrong. So I agree with this concept that the lady demonstrated 100%. But I was helping to try to show these points when I went back to that. Now put up number 2. Now let's go back and read those Old Testament passages, recognizing that they're not necessarily binding today unless we see the same thing in the New. I want to read them because that will at least show you that at one time it was condemned. And if people who are born homosexuals, and therefore it has to be okay, then how come it wasn't okay then? Because people would have been, if it were true they were born that way, they would have been born that way then. Yet God told them clearly they couldn't do it. So something is wrong with that reason. Either they're not born that way, or if they are born that way, they can't stop. It has to be one of those two options. Like I said, thou shalt not lie with mankind, as with womankind, is an abomination. If a man also lies with mankind, as he lies with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They should surely be put to death, and the blood shall be upon them. And as you remember, put up number 3, this censor was condemned in the same breath, we might say, along with the idea of having sexual relations with an animal. And then number four, we want to go back to the New Testament because we're admitting that we're not under the Old Testament law, Leviticus. We have to go to New Testament law to prove that it's wrong. I agree with that. I'll admit that. Now look at these verses. For this cause God gave them up to vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise, also the men leaving the natural use of the woman, burning their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their errors is me. That doesn't use any of the words, malapeo, or arsenopeas. You don't have to argue about those words. All you have to see is read it in English. To me, it's obvious it's first talking about lesbians, then talking about gay men. Uses these terms, uncleanness, dishonor, vile, change the natural use. We argue a little bit about what that means, but it doesn't really matter. The Bible says it was against nature, leaving the natural use, unseemly, and it was error. And it's condemned in that same context with these things, fornication, wickedness, murder, deceit, haters of God. Whatever way you try to get around this and what it says plainly, then are you saying that these are not sins either? Because it condemns them in the same list, in effect. And while I'm thinking about it, Liddell and Scott would be a good Bible dictionary, sir, that I would recognize. That would be a good one. I can't put all the recommended and reputable things up there because I just don't have room on these charts. You see they're too busy already. There's too much on them. You can't put everything on there. You have to pick and choose. Let's go back then and talk about what this young lady, who I think has left, or she left her seat at least, wanted to mention about Lot offering his daughters. That's a good point. Let's go back to that. Now put up, okay. You still here? There you go. Okay. Sorry if I got the wrong person. Did I put number 10, Alan? Now, let me say this. What Lot offered to do was wrong, absolutely wrong. There are plenty of places that should say that fornication is wrong. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 2.
Fornication.
That would have been fornication. Alright, that's not the question. I'm saying it's wrong, and the Bible says it's wrong over and over and over again. I should. Okay, you talk to me about it later. Hold my time, Michael.
So you can't say
Bible condemns rape. The Bible condemns rape. Okay? It does condemn it. I can't put my finger on the passage right now, but I have it. Okay. No, it's because I don't have the whole Bible memorized, okay? The book of Deuteronomy in the Old Testament condemns rape. I can't remember. But I want to go on with my speech, please. The original question was, it was something like this. None of the Christian churches say anything about one lie. What do y'all think? No. If any Christian churches are trying to say that was okay, then they're wrong. We say that was absolutely wrong, and the Bible does condemn rape. Okay? Hold my time, Michael. Hold my time.
What chapter?
Hold my time, please. We'll see if I have a reference to that on my chart. Okay. I will have to find that afterwards. Okay? Okay. Do you know?
The Bible does not condemn rape. What it says is if a guy rapes a woman, then he has to take her for his wife, or else pay her father who jumped charge for her. So you are right. The Bible does not condemn rape. Amen.
Here, I think I found it. Alright. Pat was talking about Deuteronomy 22, the last two or three passages, where I don't believe it's the case of rape for the man and the woman who are not married. The last two or three verses of Deuteronomy 22. That's what Pat said. Let me finish, please. Alright. Okay. Chapter 22, the last two or three verses. I believe this is what Pat was talking about. If the man and woman have consensual sex when they're not married. But look at Deuteronomy 22, verse 25. If a man finds a betrothed damsel in the field, and the man forces her and lie with her, then the man only that lay with her shall die. It goes on to talk about, I believe in that concept, about the woman crying out and things like that. What it's trying to show is that if it was consensual, then Pat is right, he had to marry her, and so forth. It was fornication, and they had to get married. But if she was crying out and trying to get out of it, right, but nobody heard her, then the man was put to death. Now let's go back to the original point that it's simply this. Okay, Michael started my time if he hadn't already. We say what Lot did was wrong. It was absolutely wrong what Lot did. There's a lot of things that people in the Bible did that are wrong. David committed adultery with Bathsheba. That was wrong. And then he had Bathsheba's husband put forward at the front row of battle, and everybody else was treated so he'd be killed. So in effect, it was murder. But let's go back to Genesis, in Sodom and Gomorrah, and see what's important to the point. What's important tonight is not, we agree that what Lot did was wrong, but what about what the men of Sodom did? What they did was wrong. Okay, that's the question tonight. And Genesis 19:45, the men of Sodom, requested homosexual relations with the visitors. At first it wasn't going to be right. They requested homosexual relations. Alright? In verse 7, the proposed homosexual relations were called wicked at that point before they tried to rape the two men. Alright? Before they tried to rape the two men, the homosexual request was called wicked. Alright? Now we'll get back to that in a minute. Let's see. Do I have something else on that? Oh yeah. Let's go to Ezekiel 16:49-50. That's not in the same order in my notes, but it goes with this idea. Let's go to Ezekiel, where Pat said that this proves that the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah was inhospitality. Now let's go there, Ezekiel 16. Now, first of all, remember, I said in one or two of my original speeches that yes, people are inhospitable and they may have committed that sin. No problem. But was that the only sin they committed? Now remember, what I just showed you is, in Genesis 19:4-5, is they asked to have relations with these two men. They didn't know it was really two names. Lot said, don't do this wickedly. That was homosexual relations. So that is also called sin. If they committed the sin of inhospitality, that's in addition to that. Now let's go to Ezekiel 46:16, and read verses 49-50. It says, behold, I'm sorry, it's going to take me all 29 minutes to answer the questions I already have. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Pride, that's a sin, but pride can lead to other sins too, can't it? Fullness of bread, abundance of idleness was in her. That idleness certainly leads to other sins. And in her daughters, neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. We're agreed that's a sin, not helping the needy. And they were haughty. There's maybe a repetition of the pride. And committed abomination before me. Therefore, I took them away and I saw good. So they did commit all these other sins, including not helping the needy. But they had the sin of pride. And then it says, because they were haughty, in effect, they committed this abomination. What was that abomination? I think that's defined for us by Leviticus 18 and 20, where it says it's an abomination to man, man's line of man. Now, let's go to Jude. No, let's go to Jude, and I will confirm that for you. Now, remember, what did we say from the book of Jude? Please quiet now so I can make the point, okay? You haven't heard all the points, don't argue with it, please. I'm not saying there's no other sins. We see clearly they had pride. What did that pride lead to? Something that was an abomination. Alright? Just because somebody commits homosexuality doesn't mean they don't commit any other sins. I'm not arguing that. But notice what it says in verse 7 of Jesus, giving themselves over to fornication. So the abomination they committed out of their pride was they gave themselves over to fornication. It specifically says strange flesh. And then another questioner asked me, why didn't Jesus condemn gay sin? Alright, put up number 33. Number 33. Now, by this reasoning, here's the argument, evidently. This is what I think argument. Since Jesus never spoke directly about them, about homosexuality, therefore it can't be wrong. But notice, Jesus never directly spoke against bestiality, having sex with animals. He never spoke directly against arson, burning a building down. Jesus never spoke, as far as I know, against rape. Now we saw in Deuteronomy, and I think we see it in the New Testament too, that Jesus didn't talk about rape. Now, do y'all mean by that those sins are not sins? No, I don't think we mean that. Jesus never intended to list all the sins that there were in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. What he did was, he said, I'm going to leave you. And I'm going to send them the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit, after I leave, as a comfort. He will guide you into all the truth. We don't have all of the New Testament truth in the words, the red letters of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. After he left, he sent the Holy Spirit so that he could guide them in the truth. And that's why we have Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. That's where we get these other books of the Bible. Notice John 14, 26, the Holy Ghost shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever said to you. So, things that Jesus taught that might not be recorded for us, he was going to bring it to their remembrance after he left through inspiration of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 14, 37, Paul, he's the one that wrote Romans 1, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10, that condemn homosexuality. He said this, the things that I write to you are the commandments of the Lord. He's recognizing that what he's doing is writing to them what Jesus said the Holy Spirit would lead them into. So Jesus indirectly condemned homosexuality in that he had the Holy Spirit guide them into the truth. Paul, Peter, and so forth. Notice that Jesus also indirectly condemned homosexuality in Matthew 19, 4 through 5. I've already brought that up. Have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female and said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. So at the beginning, marriage is defined as male and female. Now Jesus said, after I leave, the Holy Ghost will be sent to teach you all things, guide you in all the truth. And that was the apostles and so forth, the New Testament prophets. What does the rest of the New Testament say? These things that Jesus inspired these men to say through the Holy Spirit. He said that homosexuality was vile against nature. Unseemly heir, 1 Timothy 6, verse 9, shall not inherit the kingdom of God, 1 Timothy 1, verse 10, and it says it's defiling. And then we have the question, what about quoting from the Greek? Well, Pat mentions about some things that scholars have said. There's a difference in quoting commentators. A commentator is something we read and it helps us, and we learn it and read it. But they're commenting on what they think the passage is reading, and they are quoted by their own biases. I didn't try to read any commentators like she was going from. What I try to do is take dictionaries. Dictionaries where they're defining the words. They're not giving you commentary on what the passages mean. They're just defining the word regardless of their own views, like Strong's, Thayer's. You can go by these at any Bible bookstore. This is perhaps the most used and respected Bible dictionary. Thayer, again, he's not defining English words. That you see, he's defining the original Greek words that the Bible was originally written in. That's why I'm trying to quote not the commentators, but the dictionaries, because I don't know that much Greek myself. And let's see. How much time do I have?
They don't mean to hold the time. So.
Now, while somebody was speaking, he held my time. How much time do I have left, Michael?
2 minutes.
Put up number 5 now. Now, I want you to remember 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. Do you not know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? When somebody else is talking, it shouldn't be counted against my time. That's only fair. Do not be deceived into fornicators. We agree that's wrong. Idolaters, we agree that's wrong. Adulterers, we agree that's wrong. Neither homosexuals nor sodomites. Now remember, this translation was done after 1946, evidently. That's when the word was coined. And so they could put homosexual in the translation because that's what the Greek word meant. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor sorcerers shall inherit the kingdom of God. This is done by not one Greek scholar. These translations like this, the New King James, was done by many, many different Greek scholars. And if this was not the right meaning for the word, the other scholars, and there's a lot of scholars from liberal churches there that don't believe homosexuality is wrong, but they still agree that was the meaning for these words. They agreed that was the meaning for these words, even though they were from churches, very liberal churches, as I call them, that don't condemn homosexuality. They were on the board, we might say. There may be, 40 Greek scholars. They all agreed that was the right word. And number 6, 1 Timothy 1, verse 10, we also know this. The law was not made for a good man, but for people who are lawless, rebels, ungodly, sinners, and holy, no religious, father killers, mother killers, murderers, sexual sinners, homosexuals, slave traders, liars, and those who break promises. You see that? This same word, same verse, you see homosexual in the New American Standard. And if you have a Bible tonight, it'll say homosexual there. And it will in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. In your Bible, because unless you're using the old King James Version, when the word had not been coined yet. Now that's what the Bible has to say about the matter. I did not write the Bible. God did. You cannot blame me for that. My time's up. Let me thank you so much for coming. I know it's not a lot of people, especially in New York. Being from Alabama, we don't have the parking problems I see in Manhattan yet. So I know a lot of you had to either take the train or take the subway. And if you did ride, you had to pay money for parking. I appreciate so much you coming. And I appreciate Pat being willing to do it. And be willing to stand around and talk to you for a while here.
I have to express your love and views on the compromise that were created by God and that I have the option to do it both of that. I hate them then to buy you and my instructions too. I'm after that.
I believe that science can tell which sex they are. No, their chromosomes show what kind of sex they are. We'll talk about it more later. I did answer. The chromosomes tell.